Welcome to the Ofri, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. Hey guys, I got a great show for you tonight. Christopher Vassi is back with us, and he's going to be talking about his latest book, and that's Natural Compresses and Poultices, Safe and Simple Folk Medicine Treatments for Over 70 Common Conditions. And, you know, if you're worried about health care, especially here in the States, or you're trying to figure out how you can just take care of yourself, better care of yourself, this is the show that you really need to listen to, because he's going to give some really deep information that, you know, it's really quite simple. It's an old way of doing things, but we've kind of gotten out of that with our, you know, modern medicine. But it's time to go back to the old ways to help ourselves. So sit back and enjoy this show. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks that are holding you back and release that energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS. And the real question is, you know, I always ask, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. About me, for my new listeners, I've been intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive. I have over 3 decades of experience helping people break through those blocks along their life path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. Now, I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. My clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, I'll say that 3 times, go to my website, NestleMinkChapman.com, and I do invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Valued by herbalists, midwives, and wives throughout history, compresses and poultices are gentle yet highly effective natural remedies you can safely use at home. Easily made from the materials you already have in your kitchen, such as ice cubes, herbs, cabbage leaves, lemon slices, clay, or beeswax, these simple preparations can quickly ease pain and inflammation, relieve congestion and edema, lower fever, drain abscesses, activate circulation, calm muscle spasms, and trigger the body's natural healing abilities. Christopher Vassi is a naturopath specializing in detoxification and rejuvenation. He is the author of several books, including The Alkaline Diet for Optimism.
Optimal.
Daniel's written optimism. I'm like, huh? Optimal health. Liver detox and natural remedies for inflammation. And he lives right outside of Montreux, Switzerland. And you can check him out at his website that gives you a plethora of information. And that is ChristopherVassi.ch. ChristopherVassi.ch. Welcome back, Christopher.
Wow, thank you. Hello. Hello, Monique.
Hi. Absolutely love this new book. You know, it's very interesting. You write these books, and they're small books, but they're packed full of powerful information. And if one decides to utilize the information that is shared, your health does improve. For those who haven't listened to the other show, how did you get on this path of being a naturopath?
Well, it started with my mother saying, eat your vegetables, they are full of vitamins, and so forth. My mother was quite health-oriented. But then when I was about 20 and studying, I saw in my surrounding 2 people falling ill, and I could see clearly that it was in relation with the way they were living, especially the way they ate. And I didn't know anything about natural medicine, really, but I could see that. And very soon after, in town, there was a naturopath who gave a lecture on what is natural medicine. Mm-hmm. And I went to see, and I was so happy to hear all that, discovered the subjects. I was so enthusiastic that I asked him, where did you study all that? He told me the name of the school, and I registered straight away. And I never regretted it. I studied many years in that school, with that school, and then on my own, reading a lot of natural medicine books from different people, and then opening a practice and helping people, but also helping myself, because, of course, by doing, following, trying all those natural medicine techniques, diets, and so forth, one learns to understand the whole process much better, and it's much easier than to help people. And in my book, I try to give the information to the people who are maybe ill already or getting ill or who don't want to be ill, so that they can be more aware of what is really health and how you can keep it in a natural, non-aggressive way.
Okay. Well, with all of your work, you know, going, I'm going to say back to the old ways, the very natural ways, why is this so important in today's society with all of these medications, and I'm going to call them, some of them poisons, probably most of them poisons in a sense, because they have a negative reaction in your body. Why is it so important to get back to the natural ways now?
Because there are laws of nature and laws of health. One has to, we cannot just decide to live in any old way. The body is built in a certain way and function in a specific way, and we have to follow the way it's built, and that's what we call the laws of health. We cannot just eat anything. We cannot poison our body with all sorts of toxics and drugs and so forth, or not giving our body enough vitamins, minerals, and so forth, and expect to be healthy. And it's to bring that logical knowledge about what is really health that is important. Nowadays, because our society has developed a system where you don't have to change your way of life. Mm-hmm. You just take pills which will work, cure you. Try to cure you. But mm-hmm. These remedies are more anti-symptomatic. They only act on the surface and not so much in the depths. And that's why people can be cured of one health problem, but then they are ill again with another one and another one. And basically, the person thinks that it's always another new illness coming, but it's always the same basic illness, because in natural medicine we think that basically an illness is can be found in the terrain, that is, in the internal environment of the body. Mm-hmm. It can be overcrowded with toxins or lacking in vitamin, minerals, and those are the two big reasons why we get ill. And it's on those two causes that we have to work, and not only on the surface symptoms that can be seen.
Okay. Well, how does aging fit into the equation? I mean, as you get older, you know, your body changes. Sometimes things tend to break down and whatever. So is it inevitable that at some point in time you're just sick?
No. It is inevitable. I mean, some people live very long and are healthy. Of course, they are slower, they can't digest as well as before, they have to eat less and chew more and so forth, but they can basically stay healthy until they die. And they don't die of illness, they just die of, because their heart stops beating, it's too tired to go on, and it's fine. Well, the soul will move out of the body and the body will stop functioning. And it's old age, as we can see it around us, is not very sympathetic, because we see old people all ill and so forth, and we think, oh, that's horrible. but that's not the way it should be. If people were healthy, I mean, lived a healthy life, they would be healthy even in old age, and they would not suffer of all those illnesses. And there are examples of people who are like that. It's possible, but of course one has to act accordingly.
Okay. Well, let's just get into the topic of this book. Let's get right to it. What is a compress?
Well, a compress is a piece of cloth that has been soaked in water or another liquid and then folded several times and placed on the ailing part of the body. And the liquid used can be just water, cold or warm, depending on the effect we want, or an infusion of medicinal plants or vinegar or other things. And the size of the compress it has to be as big enough to cover the ailing area, which means some compressors are quite small. If you have a compress on a finger, well, the compress is small. If it's on the torso because someone is coughing, well, the compress will be big.
Okay. So are the compresses basically for what's ailing you internally, like not the skin, but everything beneath the skin, like the organs?
It can be the skin, it can be internal organs, everything can be, every organ can be reached, because the idea is that it works because the compress is, for example, cold or warm, and by choosing cold or warm, we can act on the blood circulation. If we put warmth on on the skin, the compress on the skin, mm-hmm. it will heat the region and the vessels, blood vessel, will dilate it. They will increase in size, and that will draw a lot of blood into the region, and blood from other parts of the body. And then the ailing part will be much better irrigated by the blood. Therefore, more oxygen, more vitamins, and so forth, to heal. Mm-hmm. And this drawing blood from beneath is blood which is in the tissues, in the flesh, which is underneath and can go quite far inside the body. I mean, if someone has a liver problem, one can put a warm compress on the liver, and then it will draw blood from the liver, out of the liver, to the skin, and that will relieve the liver, for example. So it is effective on internal organs too.
Okay. So when we draw the blood, you know, through the organ and up to the skin, it needs to go someplace. So is that when you get like a skin boil or pimples or something like that?
Yeah, well, just to relieve the organ is already something. But when the toxins come up to the skin is able to eliminate those toxins. Mm-hmm. Because on the skin, we have two different kinds of glands, the sudoriferous glands and the sebaceous glands, which are capable, it's their job, part of their job, to eliminate toxins. Mm-hmm. So the toxins are brought to the surface of the body and then eliminated.
Okay, so it's like when we sweat, it naturally comes up and goes away.
Yeah. But also, the blood that has been drawn from the organ which is ill is with toxins, and then it will be brought to the surface and then flow further away to the liver, kidneys, and so forth to be purified, and therefore toxins are also eliminated in this way.
Okay, so then we talked about the compresses. What's the poultice, and how do we use that?
Well, those are paste-like preparations that are applied directly to the skin or wrapped in a thin cloth or paper Kleenex. And different things can be used. It can be ice cubes. It can be clay or medicinal plants, seaweeds, birch leaves, etc. It can be potatoes, cabbage, onions, carrots, and so forth. And the idea is that it will work because for example, the medicinal plant has active substances which can then mm-hmm. come into the body and acts in the ailing part, or it's a support. The poultice is a support for warmth, to warm a part of the body and increase the blood circulation to stimulate the healing process.
Okay. Well, with all of these natural compresses and pulses that we can use to help ourselves, how did we get so far away from it with modern-day medicine?
Because when you put a compress or a poultice, you've got to prepare it, you apply it, and then after a while, you've got to change it, and again, later on, 2-3 times, it depends, and that's work. And people prefer to take just a pill, which will try and solve the solution, the problem.
Uh-huh.
But the problem is that sometimes people don't have the remedy with them, or there's no doctor around, no pharmacy, and so forth, and they're stuck far away or alone at home. And that's where compressors and pulses can be used, because it's nothing. The products which are used are common products. I mean, potatoes, everybody has probably potatoes at home.
Mm-hmm.
In a piece of cloth and cold water or warm water, it's very easy to find. So it can give a rapid relief from pain and suffering in an easy way. People, everybody can do it as soon as they learn it, how to do it. And it's a bit of work, and therefore, well, nowadays, as you know, people like to take pills, and most people, so they don't use compressors and pulses anymore.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes it's safer for folks to go back to the old ways. We're speaking with Christopher Vassy, MD. This latest book that we're talking about is Natural Compresses and Pulses, Safe and Simple Folk Medicine Treatment for Over 70 Common Conditions, including headaches, asthma, sprains, shingles, and fever. You can check him out at his website, and that's ChristopherVassy.ch, ChristopherVassy.ch. Christopher, you know, you've written a book on blood, and one day I want to have you on and talk about that because I found a lot of value in that book. I think it was called The Spiritual Mysteries of the Blood. But
yes,
what is the importance of blood in providing nutrition and oxygenating ourselves? Because I think people really don't have an understanding of that.
Yeah. Well, our body is made of billions of cells, and these cells they need oxygen, and they eliminate toxins, waste products. But all these cells are in place in the body, and they cannot move. They cannot go to the side of the external part of the skin to fetch oxygen or food and so forth. It has to be brought to them. And the element which is responsible for this transport of food, oxygen, and so forth is the blood. And the blood is circulating in blood vessels, which are big at the beginning and become smaller and very, very small, like small as a hair. I mean, mm-hmm. Capillaries are small as hairs. And these small vessels go deep into the organic tissues and bring what is needed to the cell. But then these substances go out of the blood, of the blood vessel, into the liquid which surrounds the cells, and then they are brought to the cell, and then they traverse the external membrane of the cell, and then they are in the cell where they will be used. So it can be minerals, proteins, and so forth, which are brought to the cells. Now the cells will use these substances, and there are waste products which are produced, and these waste products will travel the same way, but in the opposite direction. They are eliminated from the cell. They are into the external fluids, the fluids which are around the cells, and then they go into the blood. And then they are carried to the five excretory organs, that is the liver, the intestines, the kidneys, the skin, and the lungs. And it's important that all the toxins produced are always eliminated. Otherwise, they accumulate in the internal terrain, that is, inside of the body, And the more they accumulate, the more they give trouble to the organs, the cells, which cannot work anymore. And as I said before, that's the basic idea. What is an illness, according to natural medicine? It's basically due to this accumulation of toxins, waste products, toxics, and poisons in our inside of our body. And illnesses are the efforts which are made from by the body to get rid of those toxins. If we have an eczema, well, it's toxins getting rid, eliminated by the skin in a great amount, which produces eczema, or bronchitis, or and so forth. All the different illnesses can be explained in this matter.
Okay. So, I have a question now: if you have the skin condition like eczema or psoriasis or any of these other ones that are running around right now, can you create a compress or a poultice to put on that would actually take that skin condition away? I mean, does it pull from the blood to remove that condition?
Yes, it can. It's one can use in this, for example, clay.
Mm-hmm.
Clay, it's a sort of clay, but just normal clay.
Uh-huh.
And if you mix it with water, well, you buy it in a specialized shop where it's clay for therapeutic use, uh-huh, with no additives and so forth. And you mix it with water so that it becomes a paste, soft, but hard enough to stay where you put it. And you put this layer of clay at the beginning only 1 inch thick, but then it can be 2 or 3 inches,
mm-hmm,
and or on the area, aiming area, and then you let it dry. And when it dries, the clay will pull the toxins out of the skin. It has an absorbent action, that is, it draws out the toxin. There's a suction action.
Mm-hmm.
So the toxins are taken out of the skin, and that relieves the skin. Of course, it will relieve it. That's the first effect. If you really want to get rid of an eczema, you've got to repeat the poultice every day and so forth for a certain time. And when all the toxins are out of the skin, the eczema will disappear.
Go ahead.
So basically, the eczema is the body getting rid of many toxins through the skin, and the skin cannot bear it anymore. It becomes inflamed, red, and so forth. So one has to get rid of all those toxins in the skin to cure it. But if I may add something,
sure,
there's another way of doing it. This is compresses and pulses are mostly to relieve the pain, the itching, and so forth. If you want to go more quickly with eczema, it's better to detoxify the body in general by stimulating the kidneys or the liver, depending on the kind of eczema it is.
Okay.
So it's a more general approach.
Oh, okay, so you can kind of do like a 1-2 whammy. Now, if you did the just the poultice on the skin and you put it, say, on your arm, your left arm or your right arm, whatever, and you have eczema on other parts of your body, does it also pull from there, or does it just pull from where you place the compress?
No, it will be where you place it, and
okay,
that's why I should mention the other approach. To detoxify the blood and the terrain of the toxin responsible for the eczema in whatever place it is, and even if it's in several places, it's one treatment will then have an effect on all the different regions.
Okay, so in your book you talk about cold compresses, and they're generally 65 degrees Fahrenheit or below, or a hot compress that can go up to as high as 113 degrees Fahrenheit, but then you say they can also be applied dry. So talk to us about a dry compress.
A dry compress is a piece of cloth which has been heated by putting it on somewhere where it's warm and applying on the body. It will then, one has to apply, to wrap a person with a towel or something warm so that the warmth of the compress stays. And there's also a possibility of keeping the warmth longer by putting warm bottles, plastic bottles, how do you call it, warm water bottles.
Hot water bottle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And therefore, it's dry, but it's warm. And that can help also the body to, well, it pushes the body to react. The skin will be warm, so the blood will be pulled to the skin because the blood vessel will dilate it. They will increase in size. And the blood will come there, and it can have also an effect. A piece of cloth, a compress is a piece of cloth which has been soaked in a liquid, but sometimes it can be also dry. That's true.
Okay. So if you're making the compress and it's going to be a warm compress, you say in the book that you should cover it with a wool cloth to keep it from cooling down too quickly. I know in the past I've made a couple of compresses and it just cooled down so quick. I said, oh, screw this, you know, and I went on to something else. But you have a protocol. You said that there should be natural products like linen or cotton and then covering it with wool. Why is that?
Well, it's the official way to do it, but maybe someone doesn't know all that and just puts a cloth, different cloth on it or a blanket, and that will be fine again. If it's synthetic tissue, then it's not as healthy because the skin doesn't react the same way. It's better to have something natural. But if it's linen or wool, it doesn't change much of the it will also work, yeah.
Okay. So if you used a synthetic piece of material, would the poisons, if you will, in this synthetic material leach into our bodies?
No, it's more that the skin will not breathe in the same way. When you have cotton, the skin can really breathe easily. If it's synthetic, if you've got a synthetic shirt, for example, well, you sweat in different way. It makes you sweat more, and it's the sweat doesn't evaporate in the same way if it was natural tissues. It's not fundamental. It's more detail. But it will, the synthetic will not poison the body. No, not that. No.
Okay. In your book, you talk about, and you know, I don't know why I didn't think about this in this manner. You talk about goosebumps, and goosebumps are actually muscles that attach to hair follicles. I wouldn't even think about a muscle being in a hair follicle. Talk to us about that, our skin and how it helps us.
I didn't get the illness we were talking about.
Okay.
A goose egg when you hit your head.
No, the goosebumps on the skin, like when you someone tells you something and you get the goosebumps. You say it's because the muscles that are attached to our hair follicles. We have so many hair follicles. We have so many muscles.
Yeah, very many, and they're very small, but there are so many of them so that when you apply cold or someone is in the cold water and so forth, they will all contract. And all those small muscles contracting at the same time, they produce a great effect. A lot of blood is put into circulation, is heated by the efforts, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a reality. And that's where the cold compressors or poultices apply. If a region of the body is too warm, it has swollen, it's all red, well, those are the characteristic of an inflammation. If you put colds, it will contract the blood vessel and the blood will be chased out of the region and the region will be cooled down and the swelling will be reduced, and that will relieve the person and help the healing process.
Okay. Okay, so what about, a lot of people today have digestive issues, whether it be actual digestion itself or diarrhea or constipation, as the food goes through. How can using a compress or poultice help us in that manner to help that?
Depends what the problem is. If it's constipation, because the intestines are too slow or sluggish, or then one has to stimulate them. And because there are also many muscles in the intestines, and if we have to stimulate them, help them to contract. So it can be a cold compress around the abdomen. One would take a cloth of big enough to surround the abdomen and put it in cold water, not freezing, but cold water, and then apply it directly on the skin around the abdomen so that underneath the intestines are stimulated by the cold. They have to react. They cannot just stay passive. They will contract, and the blood will be chased away from these muscles in the first moment. But then that's already a stimulation of the intestines. But then the intestines are getting colder because the compress or the poultice is staying there on the abdomen, and the body will react by sending back a lot of blood in the intestine, in the muscles of the intestines, so that suddenly there's a lot of blood, oxygen, and so forth, and that will also stimulate the muscles. And by doing this regularly every day, the muscles will be stimulated to work more better. That's a way it can be done. But maybe your question was more in relation when someone has overeats and has an indigestion, there it would be more warm, which will be needed. And I've talked just a minute ago about the warm water bottles. If you apply that on the liver, on the side, on the red, right side of the abdomen, there's the liver, it will bring a lot of warmth into the liver, which is congested and tired of digesting. And by bringing warmth, it will make the blood vessel increase in size and draw blood from other parts of the body. So there's a lot of blood in the liver and can work better and can secrete more bile, which will help the digestions. The same thing applies if someone has the intestines. If you bring warmth on it, it will stimulate them, and it can also help the digestions.
Okay. You've mentioned using onions and cabbage and potatoes, but in the book you say mustard is a no-no. Why?
Mustard can be used, but one has to be more careful because mustard has a kind of aggressivity. We can taste it when we eat mustard. It can be quite sharp, strong. And when you apply mustard on the skin, it have a repulsive action. It has an irritating effect, which can, if you leave it too long, can bring an inflammation, can burn the skin, and cause blisters. So we don't want to go so far. We just want to put the mustard on the skin so that the skin is irritated and reacts. And this reaction will bring a lot of blood into the skin, which will relieve the organs which are just underneath, which are congested with blood full of toxins. It's very often used when someone has a bronchitis or such illnesses in the lung. There are too many toxins in the lungs, and to bring them out of that region quickly, one has to put those cataplasm poultice of mustard so that the blood with the toxin will come up to the skin and then be eliminated.
Okay. In the book, you also talk about making a poultice of curd. What therapeutic properties does curd have?
Well, it has, because it's a bit acidic, it will also have a repulsive action, irritating effects, as mustard has. But basically, the primordial effect is that you take curd, which is cold, it comes from the fridge, and you put it on the skin, and it will cool the skin. It's used when someone has a sunburn. He has a sunbathe for too long, and his skin is all red and aching. If you put curd on it, it will take the heat out of the skin, which is a relief for the person, doesn't burn so much. And, well, as all the poultices and compressors, after 5-10 minutes, it will be warm. So you have to put more curd. Well, you take away the curd away, and you put some new one, which is cold, and again further along in time, so that a lot of heat is taken out of the skin, and it can relieve the person of the pain and help the healing process.
Okay. I'm going to talk about your website for a second, and that's ChristopherVassie.ch. I went to the articles tab, and you know, I was just glancing through it, and one caught my eye, and that was about illnesses and whether or not they're a punishment or not. Because, you know, some people, especially in the spiritual community, say, oh, well, you got so-and-so as a punishment for whatever, it's karma for whatever. So talk to us, are illnesses really a punishment?
Well, what I explained in the article is no. If someone follows the laws of health, eats properly, sleeps enough, doesn't take any drugs or chemicals and so forth, he will be healthy. If he doesn't, it's a consequence. He's healthy, it's a consequence of what he has done. Now, if someone wants to overeat, never sleep, get excited and stressed all the time, he will become ill. And the illness is a consequence of what he has done. It's not a punishment which comes arbitrarily. It's the consequence of something. But to know it's the consequence, people have to know more about natural medicine, where the relation between the way we live, what we do, the state of our body, the internal environment, what we call terra is, and the illnesses which are produced. So, no, nothing is arbitrary or by chance. If we get ill, it's because we have lived or been intoxicated by something and so forth. And there are causes which usually we can work on and help the person to cure again.
Okay. You know, I was going over the list of books that you have written, and there are so many and so varied. But the one that keeps jumping out at me today, especially with this talk about the compresses and the poultices, is the liver detox. How important is it to keep our liver as clean as possible, and how do you know when you've achieved that?
Yeah, well, the liver is one of the biggest organs in the body, and most of the organs in the body have two or three functions. They work this or that. That's a few, maybe 10 different things they do. Mm-hmm. But the liver has more than, depending on which book you read, more than 300 or 500 functions. They help to assimilation, to keep sugar, transform sugar, produce proteins, eliminate toxins. They can neutralize all the waste products, substances which give cancer. They can kill microbes. It's just incredible all the things the liver can do. It's the most well, all the organs are important, of course, because if one doesn't work, well, the others will not be able to go on very long. But the liver has so many different, works in so many different fields that it's really important to help it and, well, to spare it of too much works, because as soon as it's over tied, it accumulates toxins, product, and then the blood is not purified anymore. And everything gets you get into trouble. So if someone wants to detoxicate and doesn't know which organ to stimulate, I would say always do it, stimulate the liver, because it's the most important. And that can be easily done by, for example, bringing warmth to the liver, as I explained before, with a warm water bottle, but also with herbal plants, medicinal plants, which can be taken in the form of infusions or drops and tablets and so forth. Mm-hmm. They are well known. It's dandelion, it's rosemary, and so forth. All those plants taken 3 times a day. You've got to find the dose and then follow the dosage. And then every day, the liver will be stimulated 3 times to work in a better way. It will first detoxify itself. And when it's detoxified, it can work better. So it will purify the blood of all the toxins. And when the blood is purer, then the blood can take toxins deep in the tissues, in the other organs, and bring it to the liver, which will then detoxify the blood. So that's the way the body can be cured. And nowadays, we are so much under chemical pollution, and so many drugs and food additives and so forth are taken, that the liver, which is responsible to neutralize them all, has really hard work. And especially as most people eat too much, which is also an extra work for the liver. So it's good to take care of our liver, because we can say that nowadays nearly everybody has a liver which is a bit tight or overstrained by what it is asked to do.
Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on fasting? You know, here in the States at least, you know, intermittent fasting is the latest craze out there where, you know, they're saying it's healthy for you to fast. What are your thoughts?
Well, as I said, in natural medicine, the basic nature of illnesses is considered to be this accumulation of toxins in the body. So now we can detoxify the body by stimulating the liver, the kidneys, intestines, and so forth. We open the door to let the toxins come out. And they go out, and the person can get much better. But there are also toxins which are quite deep in the organic tissues, and which have to come up again towards the blood to be eliminated. And to help them come up again, fasting is a good idea, because when you fast, the body doesn't receive any food anymore, but it needs proteins, sugar, and so forth. So if it's not receiving it from outside of the body, it will try to search it inside of the tissues. And when someone fasts, there's a process which starts, which is called autolysis, which is enzyme will attack things in the body, the tissues. In fact, not the tissues, but what is in the tissues in which are not really necessary. So fat deposits, proteins, and things like that, and they will digest these things and then reduce them in very small pieces, which can be easily used by the body, recycled, or eliminated. And by fasting, the body digests its toxins, waste products with time, it does it. And therefore, after a certain time, the inner Terra is healthy again. It's not full of toxins, so the person will be also healthy.
Okay,
That's the basic idea.
so kind of a quick, innocent way to get to natural health is folks taking care of your liver. Now, when you go to christophervassey.ch, you're going to find a free download that Chris kind of alluded to earlier, and that's health and the law of nature. So if you know the laws of nature and how it corresponds to health, you know, you're a step ahead of the game. So please go to his website and download that. It's absolutely free. He also offers a free download on the secret of verbs. So ladies, if this is something that you need
Well,
or
men are also interested in it.
I was gonna say guys need it too, you know, that would be very helpful for them. And plus you'll get to see many videos that are there, and you'll get to see Chris talking, and it's time well spent. So, you know, do yourself a favor and love yourself and improve your health so that you can have a more vibrant life for the time that you're here. Chris, I really enjoyed our time today. What words of wisdom would you like to leave with our audience?
Well, I would say that health is not a question of chance or illness of lack of chance or of luck. It's something which results from the way we follow the laws of health. And these laws of health are not difficult to follow. One has to be informed of them, which I try to do in my books. And when one follows them, very soon one can see we feel much better. We can get rid of many illnesses, maybe not everything, but many, many different kind of illnesses. So it's just a question of deciding, well, yes, I'm going to take my life, my health in my hands and start acting towards it, not just thinking or avoiding any thoughts about it.
Yeah, the action is so important if you truly want to affect a positive change, because if not, you just keep going down that other path. Well, Christopher, thank you so much. Again, we've been speaking with Christopher Vassy, MD. The latest book that we're talking about today is Natural Compresses and Poultices, Safe and Simple Folk Medicine Treatments for 70 Common Conditions, including headaches, asthma, sprains, shingles, and fever. Chris, it's available everywhere, so go get it. It's a short read, very informative, very easy to read. You'll get great value out of it. Chris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure to talk again with you.
Oh, as always, when you get your next one out, give me a call, okay? You're always welcome to check on the show.
Yes, okay. I will. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you to the audience for being up with us tonight as we collectively get over it and improve our health. The Divine in Me honors the Divine in You. When you're ready to raise your vibration and shift your energy, you can give me a call for an intuitive consultation. Consultations 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. Love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself and make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of health. A blessing, light, and love to all.